are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. Happy President's Day. Happy He's Not My President Day. Happy Family Day. Happy I Hate My Family Day. Happy whatever day it is. All right. Happy, happy, joy, 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 and all that other crap. Whatever. Am I happy? No. But I'm here. And I'm happy to be here. I'm not happy in general, but I'm happy to be here. All right, so let's step up and in. We're doing this thing in the podcast booth today because basically me and Rapowski are the only people that are big enough suckers to be here today. Like, there's no one here. Like, what's the deal? Either I really need the money or I really, really, like, I'm dedicated to my job. It's probably a little bit of both. Probably a little bit of both. Steve Merrill. Steve Merrill never takes days off. He's going to join us this afternoon and this evening. Steve Merrill steps up, and then we'll talk some college basketball, a little NBA basketball recap. Got some interesting numbers for you as far as the NBA is concerned, actually, when they come back. Is it higher scoring or lower scoring after these teams have been off for a week after the All-Star break? And the numbers might surprise you. Steve Merrill will join us. The Tony Cincata steps up, and then we'll talk DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie gets traded to the Bayou. Boogie Bayou time. And you figure that DeMarcus Cousins, you know, would be happy. All right, I'm traded from Sacramento, yet he probably really isn't happy. But we'll get to that in a moment's time as well. It was the NBA All-Star game last night. The game goes over the number, way over the number. They set this thing at 352. They can't set this thing high enough. You know, highest scoring game ever. Anthony Davis sets an NBA record. Most points. We had a UFC event on Sunday night. Derek Lewis nearly killed Travis Brown. Mary Yamasaki, you're a clown. Well, that's some pretty nice poetry right there. Derek Lewis nearly killed Travis Brown. Mary Yamasaki, you're a clown. That's why I get the big bucks. That's why I get the big bucks for like lines like that. Lines like that. All right, we might be in a podcast booth, but it doesn't mean we don't have a little rage to start off the program with, except it's not so much a rage, except bemusement. As DeMarcus Cousins' run and era comes to an end in Sacramento. And not shocking. You know, like anybody that pays attention to this, and not a lot of people actually do. Now, I do. I watch every Sacramento Kings home game, basically, because I'm a late-night degenerate gambler. All right? So I watch all these Kings home games. I don't see them as much on the road, but I still see them on the road a bit. And they're a very entertaining basketball team. The Sacramento Kings are the type of team that can beat anybody in the NBA on any given night, and then they can also get, like, smoked by anybody on any given night. And we've seen this. They beat the Golden State Warriors a couple of weeks ago, Super Bowl weekend. They just beat the Boston Celtics. They're actually on a little bit of a roll, and they trade DeMarcus Cousins. And you don't even get anything good back in return for him. He's one of the best players in the league. He's one of the best players in the league. You got Tyreke Evans and Buddy freaking Hield. You're telling me that you guys couldn't have found a better package out there for this? And if you're DeMarcus, somehow you managed to get traded to a team that's freaking worse than Sacramento. Like, if that's possible. The Pelicans are lower in the standings. The Kings were 4-1 in their last five games. And the real deal here, and it's always about money, DeMarcus Cousins didn't want to get traded because he wanted to redo the deal with the Sacramento Kings because he could have made $30 million more. He could have gotten like $210 million from Sacramento, but because of some weird clause in the contract, he can only get $180 million if he signs somewhere else. So he wanted to sign and then get traded. It didn't happen. He rejected a $209 million offer. Now listen, yeah, he just lost $30 million, but you're out of Sacramento, and, you know, does it really matter? It's like, we'll put it this way. That's like having $210 in your pocket. You're at the bar. You lost 30 bucks. It sucks, but you still have 180 bucks. And he still has 180 million. Steve Merrill, Tony Cincata next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Things might be different today, but they're the same. As happy President's Day, Family Day, and whatever day you happen to be celebrating or not celebrating today. But no rest for the wicked. Me and Steve Merrill often talk about this. While the rest of the world enjoys a day off, you know what? We got to keep the pedal to the metal, just like our boy Rapowski on the other side of the glass here. No days off. No days off. Isn't that what Belichick was chanting? No days off. I love that. Like a million people who are skipping work chanting no days off. but I digress. Let's bring in Steve Merrill on this President's Day as Steve's joining us before he hits the streets for the Not My President protest out there. I just can't. I don't think there's no such thing as a betting lock, but my betting lock of the day is Steve Merrill will not be arrested at an anti-Trump protest today. What's up, Steve?
Steve Merrill has to work today, unlike 99.9% of the people that go to those protests.
Is that what you think when you see these people? Get a job, you slack-ass son of a bitches.
I still make the over-under 50% that actually even voted for either party in the election.
Yeah, that's the thing. People that didn't vote, then they're going out there and bitching after the fact. But you know, I saw that on President's Day. It never ends. Every day is a reason to protest Trump for people for one reason or another, Steve. So today, I'm like, oh, it's President's Day. I'm thinking, oh, great. What do they have in store today? It's called the He's Not My President protest. Like, seriously, there's going to be like millions of people out there today. He's Not My President protest day.
I actually didn't even know that. That's how little I pay attention to this stuff now. But I will say this. Most of the protests, what I love about it is if you go and interview, you know, anybody there, 99.9%, once again, have no clue what they're even doing there. And if you were to ask them what President's Day is all about, you know, they couldn't even name one of the presidents, which, of course, George Washington's a pretty obvious choice. I bet you a good amount couldn't even name any of the presidents that celebrate President's Day or who it's for.
I don't know. Yeah, they're thinking it's the day where there's good car sales.
It's like the tax refund check is free money you're getting back that the government's held for 11 and a half months interest free.
They're hooking you up. That's exactly right. All right, Steve. So I got hooked up last night. You know, it's one of those deals where in past years, I don't know, it's like the Super Bowl. In past years, I bet huge money and I lose. And then this year, I bet small money and I nail the final score pretty much. But, you know, I didn't have a ton in the account. I'm kind of, you know, calm before the storm, Steve. I need a breather. So I haven't stopped, but, you know, I'm not going pedal to the metal type of insanity with huge units. I'm sort of chipping away. But last night there was UFC and the All-Star game on at the same time. So, you know, I was betting the UFC, but I wanted to get into the All-Star game. But that freaking total, Steve, was 352. I'm like, man, that's pretty high, but I'll take the over. But it's hard to, like, be confident about a total of over 352. But it got there. It was, you know, early. You know, Steve, they put up, what was it, 101 points in the first quarter last night.
Yeah, that helps you get over the total of, 352, 353.
It really slowed down a little bit after that 101, though. It was a sweat job.
Yeah, actually 88 in the second quarter, 94 in the third quarter, and then they put 91 in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, the first quarter with the starters out there when they were fresh, I guess. But what jumps out to me, of course, is Anthony Davis, All-Star game record, 52 points. And the Eastern Conference, and I put this on, it was on covers, and I commented on it as well, that the Eastern Conference had one power forward in the entire lineup and no center. And
wow,
Anthony Davis goes out and breaks the All-Star game record as a big man, so not a total coincidence.
Yeah, you know what, and as well, we're getting into a little bit of a trend right now. This is almost like the All-Star Game baseball trend when the American League just freaking dominated, still dominating the All-Star Game, actually. But because I was looking, and on we've talked about it on Friday, and we cashed the ticket with the Worlds. That was a nice play. They won outright, plus five, Steve, in that rookie-sophomore World USA game. So we cashed that. You know, game goes over the number as well. But I was tempted by, you know, you and I talk about this often, All-Star games and toss-ups, and, you know, if you can make a case for the underdog, take the dog. And I was trying to make a case for the Eastern Conference last night. I'm like, man, plus six a lot in an All-Star game. And last few years, they have been kind of competitive, these games. And then I'm just sort of, like you said, I'm looking at the lineup, and I'm like, man, I don't know, like, yeah, the East is good, but the West is just, like, over the top. It's relentless. And And now I think it's been, I think it's three in a row, actually, if not more. But it's 6-6-1 now, actually, the last seven, Steve. Six out of the last seven All-Star games the West has won.
Yeah, they won six of the last seven. However, last year's 23-point victory and then had a 10-point victory last night, those are the only two times they won by more than 5 points in any of those games.
Yeah.
So, you know, going into last night, I'd mentioned to my clients, yes, the West is 5-1 straight up the last six, but four of those five wins have been by 5 points or less, and the spread was 6-6.5 last night. Same thing with the total, though. It was the highest total by far in All-Star game history. In fact, only one game in All-Star history, I think, had ever gone over 353, but then again, that was last season, and it happened again last night. So, yeah, you know, the old numbers are great and all, but then again, we're in a new era, like you said, and the fact that we've seen this now back-to-back years. And the thing that jumps out to me about the total last night was last year's game, the teams were lights out from three-point range, which obviously is going to happen, but in the NBA All-Star game, it's more dunks and layups.
Yeah, but last night it wasn't. You're right. All these guys were tossing bricks when they were shooting threes, but guys were slamming the rebound.
The West, 33%, and the East 37% from three. 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 3-for-4 from the free throw line for the West. So.
But you mentioned Davis too, and he breaks the all time record, Will Chamberlain and stuff, and it kind of sucks because it wasn't an epic performance from him. You know what I mean? Like, and I was at the All Star game last year, and even last year I remember Paul George and Westbrook, they were hitting threes and stuff, and it was like ooh ah, and it was more impressive that they were going back and forth. You know, Davis had 39 shots. There were like, you know, 25 putbacks, Steve. You know what I mean? Miss shot, dunk, alley-oop, dunk. You know, a little bit frustrating, you know, to see that, you know, the record is shattered. And you know what was frustrating as well, Steve? And I don't bet the skills comp, but I don't bet the three-point, and I bet on everything. And I don't bet the three-point stuff. I don't bet, like, the passing and all that type of crap. But I got a small piece of the slam dunk contest, and I think I'm done with this thing. Last year I got screwed. I had Aaron Gordon, and he got robbed. He was epic. And LaVine won. And then this year, I'm like, oh, no way Gordon's not going to win. And I swear, Steve, I freaking knew that I was toast when I saw the drone. When I saw the drone, I was like, this is too hard, dude. You're not going to be able to do this. You know, you're not going to pull this off. And I don't know, like, if you're wondering at home, you didn't see it. Aaron Gordon is an awesome dunker. Last year, he dunked the ball. You know, he took the ball over the head of the mascot who was spinning on a freaking hoverboard. So it was pretty crazy stuff this year. And it turns out, you know, Aaron Gordon is a big, big tech fiend. He loves tech stuff. Even when he was a kid, he built stuff. And, like, so he loves tech stuff. And he said when he was a teenager, he had a dream about he wanted to make a helium balloon and drop basketball so he could dunk. And it hit him the other night when he saw Amazon delivering packages. It's pretty smart guy, Steve, actually. Like, when I read it, I was fascinated. He goes, I was watching a thing on drones and how Amazon's delivering stuff to people now. And he was like, if they could do that, then I could just drop a basketball. So he went to Intel, and they created this custom-made drone for him. And as you can see, it's got these claws on it. So they dropped the ball, and I was reading about this, Steve, and I guess he did it. He did it the first time in practice, of course, earlier in the week when he tested it. But he screwed up the dunk in real life at the competition, and he said his confidence was shattered. Long story short, the slam dunk contest sucked, and I lost money on it.
Well, there's been talking over the last few years that it's on its last leg, and then some guys have kind of saved it short term with, you know, some nice dunks, but we keep seeing no stars want to be in it. Gordon, of course, had the edge as well. Not only was he good, he was in it last year, but then he was in a city that he used to play in New Orleans. And if you look at the MVP odds, Anthony Davis actually was the second favorite last night. He was at 4-1 in a lot of spots.
Wow, that's
right
it,
after
huh?
Russell Westbrook at 3-1, and right ahead of Kevin Durant at 5-1. But Gabe, who would have thought if you told me one guy in the game was going to have a triple double, we would have all thought it was Westbrook, and it turns out to be Kevin Durant of all people, which I thought was pretty ironic.
Yeah, it is, and you know, even Westbrook though, this guy loves All-Star games. I mean, he had like 40 points too, right? Like he's shooting from half court and stuff like that. You know what? It wasn't boring though. You know, that's the whole thing. You know, some of the other stuff, it's kind of just boring. The NHL All-Star game, the 3-on-3 sucks. This is, you know, watching them hit the threes. And it's funny, though, Miller and Weber brought it up, too. And I agree with you. You brought it up. I want to see more threes. penalties. You know, the missed shots and, you know, and the dunks and the putbacks, whatever. But, you know, it's exhilarating seeing Curry off the dribble. Boom. You know, right, you know, no dribble, boom. Just letting it rip. But nevertheless, one quick note. The NBA returns Thursday. We'll get to some college in a second here with Steve. But the NBA returns Thursday. And you would figure, Steve, that after a long layoff, and it's a longer layoff this year, some teams, you know, the Raptors are playing Friday. They last played Wednesday, Steve. That's 9 days in between games. But a couple of teams return Thursday, full slate Friday, etc. So you would think after a layoff that maybe it would be a little bit slow out of the gate. But interesting story where Steve is one of, you know, over at Covers, where you can find SteveCoversExperts.com on the front page here. NBA first game back is 54-35-1. First game's back, Steve. 54 overs, 35 unders, and one push. Good enough for 60%. And then you're like, wow, that's kind of an anomaly first game. First week back after the All-Star game, 89-69-2 to the over, 56%. I would have expected it to be the opposite of that, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. If you'd asked me out of the gate, you're going to have a 20-game net difference. I would have just thought it would have been the under as well for a couple reasons. First of all, the teams are fresh, so there's no reason why they can't play defense. There's no fatigue. And then second of all, you would think the layoff would throw off their, you know, offensive rhythm a little bit. So it's an interesting anomaly, but you could also make an argument the other way, you know, that they've been off for a week, the focus is lacking, and these guys are so good that they can always score, but they get that playground-less mentality for defense. So I guess that's what's happening. But, yeah, I'm a little apprehensive because I would have thought it would have gone the other way if I had to guess.
Yeah, we'll keep our eye on some of these totals when they come back. But it's always tricky, Steve. You and I have been doing this a long time. We know this. We always talk about this with baseball as well, Steve, right? I mean, teams come, you know, teams going into the All-Star break and teams coming out of the All-Star break, you got to keep your eye on them. Like, you know, the team in your backyard now, the Washington Wizards. Yep. Bad timing for these guys to have a break. You know, like, they're killing it right now. They're like 18-2 in their last 20 games. They don't need 8 days off.
Well, I talk about it all the time in the NFL. You know what I say about the NFL bye? I go, it's a great contrary indicator, which means when a team is struggling and they go into the bye week, you look to play on them because they need it. When a team is not struggling, it breaks the momentum. We saw that with the Philadelphia Eagles. They went 3-0 to start the season. They were never the same after that early week 4 bye.
Yeah, if there's no bye for them, who knows?
They do the opposite.
Exactly. The Eagles, if there's no bye, maybe, and they're not, they weren't great, but if there was no bye, maybe they fake it for another 6 weeks and they're, hey, you're 5-1, 6-0, and you make the playoffs even if you stumble after, right? Like, you're right. Like, it's in a fine line. And one quick thing, too, for those of you that like to bet on hockey, teams that they have a new bye week in the NHL right now, and teams are always losing. Look at the Montreal Canadiens had their bye week. They fired their coach, double combo, and they lost. It was that, you want to fire Claude Julien now in Montreal? They fire the coach, Steve, in Montreal. They bring the new guy in. They lose the first game, and already people are like, ah, this horrible, horrible move. But speaking of losing, and speaking of your backyard, the Virginia Cavaliers, Steve, 3 in a row, pathetic offensive performance the other night. 41 freaking points against North Carolina. Tonight they're laying 9.5 against the Miami Hurricanes. Number feels a little high to me, Steve.
Hey, look, something's not right with Virginia. I was concerned about it Saturday, but I just couldn't turn down the opportunity to take them against a fast-paced team like North Carolina because Virginia loves to slow it down. But this is now back-to-back games that they have lost and not look good. And now, granted, they lost to Duke and UNC, you know, two of the best teams in the country. But the problem is both those teams like to play fast, and Virginia normally can really slow down their opponent. They held Duke to 21 points in the first half. They went 9 minutes without a field goal. They were winning 25-21 at halftime, ended up getting outscored by 14 in the second half, lost outright, and then, as you said, got blown out by UNC on Saturday. Now it's a quick turnaround just 2 days later. You got to wonder if that Virginia Tech overtime loss exactly a week ago, they had a previous weekend on Sunday, is what maybe took some of the steam, because they're now 0-3 straight up in ATS, their last three. We'll see if they turn it around tonight.
Another ACC game, Steve, Boston College and Florida State. Florida State laying a boatload of points. It might be too many points, though, actually, Steve.
they're a really good team this year. They're 21-6 straight up. They're still 14-10 against the number. What's interesting about Boston College is they're only 9-18 straight up, 2-12 in the conference. However, they are 13-9 against the point spread, despite going 1-9 in road games straight up. So what that means, of course, is they're losing, but they're covering some of these games as an underdog. I just don't like to take teams that hopefully hang within the spread. It's currently 19.5. It's a big number, but Florida State is very capable of blowing them out if they want to.
Yeah, you know what? This is the Mark Lawrence clothespin special. I'm going to have to plug the nose on this one. Another thing we should note about this, Boston College has been scoring a lot, Steve, which is kind of weird. Like, I don't know, they're putting up 70-plus, 75-plus on a nightly basis right now. They've been on a big overrun. This could be a track meet tonight. I mean, Florida State could put up a boatload of points.
And Florida State's off back-to-back road losses. Each of the last two Saturdays, they lost to Notre Dame and Pitt. So now it's a one-day rest period, but they come back home finally off two losses. But Notre Dame actually hasn't played since last Tuesday. I'm sorry, Boston College hasn't played since last Tuesday. But the fact Florida State's off back-to-back losses, you would think the Seminoles would be in a pretty sour mood.
And, Steve, Longhorns, Texas Longhorns. Horrible season for the Texas Longhorns, but they've actually another team, sort of like Boston College, bad with the win-loss record. But they're making money for people betting on them, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, both these teams, Texas and West Virginia, are both two games above 500 against the spread, but there's a tremendous difference overall. Texas 0-12 in true road games and neutral site games. They've yet to win a game away from home this year, so it's really hard to look for them to win this at West Virginia, but then again, they're getting 15.5 points for that reason. West Virginia is a team that's played some really close games recently. They're off back-to-back overtime games at Kansas and then against Texas Tech on Saturday, so you're asking a double-digit favorite here to play their third game now after back-to-back overtimes, which is a concern.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a dog. Dogs are barking tonight, gentlemen. All right, Steve, so finally, before we get you out of here, you can't see us right now. Normally, you can doing Skype, but I've got a Jimmy Johnson replica automobile on set here with us, and it's NASCAR time. I saw a little the qualifying yesterday. Daytona 500 rapidly approaching. We'll hit it later in the week, but Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr. starting 1-2.
Yeah, and Keselowski's actually been the one that had been – he was favored going into Saturday's Clash race. He was favored last week at some of the advanced Daytona odds. So Keselowski's got to maybe keep an eye on that you don't necessarily think of at these restrictor plate tracks.
Steve Merrill, you can find him on ProSportsInfo.com as well as CoversExperts.com. Thanks for the time, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, there's Steve Merrill with us. We'll take a quick break. Tony Cincana is going to join us. We'll talk about the big blockbuster trade. Well, blockbuster trade. Great trade for the Pelicans, not so much for the Kings. And we'll talk some NFL football as well when we come back. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. We're rocking it President's Day style. Kicking it in the podcast booth. The building is empty, basically. The building is empty. We got our boy Rapowski on the other side of the glass. Kid's all rattled. Looks like he just woke up. We're doing the show a little bit earlier than we normally do, but we're now joined by a man that said, you know, this guy's used to doing early, early, early morning stuff. I don't know what time Cincata wakes up at. The Tony Cincata joins us. What's up, Tony?
Oh, not much. You know what's crazy? I can't go to bed. I bet you like this, too, until the last basket is dropped, so until all the NBA games are there. And then I have to be up at 6 to do the show in the morning, so I try to prepare while I'm watching the NBA games. Like, do you have to watch every single last minute of the game?
Yeah, I do. I do. There's sometimes if I'm frustrated, I have big money on a game I'm going to lose. I'm like, all right, this is done. I'm down by 41 or whatnot. But yeah, I'm a late night guy no matter what, Tony. And I can't, like, physically, I can't, like, fall asleep before, like, 3 a.m. generally anyways. And one of the reasons why I see every damn Sacramento Kings game. But what time do you wake up at, Tony?
I get up at 4:30 every day.
4:30, and you've got to get into the studio in Manhattan for 6.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing, right?
What's the traffic like at that time?
The subway. You get on the train, man. Nobody drives in New York. Have you ever seen the try to drive in New York?
Yeah, you know what? I was surprised, actually, because last time I was there for that Fantasy Cup draft, I woke up real hungover, and we had like 30 minutes to get to the airport. I was like, there's no way in hell we're going to get to the airport in 30 minutes. You know, surprisingly enough, we did. I don't know. Like, there was a lot of traffic. We got lucky. But what about the subway? Who is it, just you and the rodents and the rats?
Yeah. Rodents, rats, you can get there. There's a couple people that haven't met women in a while, so they like to take the crowded subways, and that's where they get close to them.
Oh, yeah. That might be my next step, Tony. that might be me soon. So we had the All-Star Weekend. Anthony Davis wins the MVP. I brought this up earlier with Steve Merrill. He said, "Oh, you know, he was 4-1 to win the MVP." Yeah, he scored 52 points, but it's kind of an unexciting 52 points. You know what I mean? Like, they're all putbacks and stuff, Tony. A couple of dunks, and he had 24 dunks and a bunch of putbacks and stuff. You know, if you're going to break the all-time record, I want to see bombs and three-point shots. Like, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, he hit this, and oh, did you see that shot and that shot that he hit? It's like, yeah, he dunked the ball 24 times on missed shots.
The problem is he beat Wilt Chamberlain's record. So anytime you knock Wilt Chamberlain out of a record, you're going to end up with the MVP. So he has Wilt to thank for that one.
Yeah, but he'll never grope as many women as Wilt. You know, back to the subway. Like, yeah, you ain't gay, especially with that unibrow thing.
That's true. I don't know, but it's unique. It's actually separated him from everybody else. I mean, guys like, you know, Pee Wee Herman probably had a great lifestyle. You just never know.
Yeah, I saw that Joe Flacco was actually voted like the best looking quarterback, and I was thinking, are they trolling him? Is that like a joke? Hey, Joe, do you remember the old days? Like, I remember a funny story, Tony. I remember Morton Anderson, a kicker. And Morton Anderson considered himself a well-dressed, like, Playboy type of guy. So
yes.
The Saints pulled a prank on him, and they told him that Playboy magazine was coming, and they wanted to do an interview on him and talk about his lifestyle and stuff, and he should dress up, and he dressed up in, like, this tight leather outfit and stuff, and Playboy magazine wasn't coming. Playboy magazine wasn't coming, but so yeah, Anthony Davis, he wins the MVP, and then after he wins the lottery by finding out that Marcus Cousins is going to be one of his teammates. But from a fantasy standpoint, Tony, you know, their prices are both going to be the same, I guess, but they're going to have to alter them. There's only one basketball, right? So I don't know how it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, so basically, I think that they both come down a little bit as far as usage rates. Now, I'm interested to see where Anthony Davis is going to play. If he's strictly on the wing and DeMarcus Cousins is going to get the rebounding, because then you lose even the shot-blocking abilities a lot of times with Anthony Davis. You're going to lose a couple of rebounds. Or if they both play close to the hoop because Anthony Davis gets some rebounds, and then DeMarcus Cousins, he's another guy that, you know, he likes to think he has a good outside game. He likes to shoot three-pointers. Does he forget to rebound there? One of these guys, it wouldn't shock me, takes a drastic hit in rebounds.
Yeah, that's a good point. How about the plus side for the point guard right now in Holiday?
Oh, this is
where it comes. Because everyone's going to look at these two. Well, these guys. Well, somebody's got to get these guys the ball, and somebody's got to hit a three along the way. I think it's a great upside for Drew here, isn't there?
Absolutely. This is a guy that was talking about him trading, and they went the other way, right? They went and they added a player, and now he's going to be the guy, the point guard. He'll be a guy in a league. If you play fantasy basketball season long, you don't have many guys walking around with 10 assists per game, and it wouldn't shock me if he was able to do that going away the rest of the way. From Daily Fantasy perspective, this is a guy that's going to put up some big fantasy numbers. You'll see a jump in his game, much like Ricky Rubio when we saw Zach Levine go out.
You know, you and I were just talking a couple of minutes ago about being up late at night. So I am up late at night, and I watch every Sacramento King game. And they're actually a very entertaining team. DeMarcus, makes it entertaining just because you never know what's going to come up next. But it's kind of ironic. I mean, the Kings were actually playing well leading into this All-Star break time. I guess they think, we beat the Celtics without them. We don't need them. But they had won four games in a row, Tony, before playing the Golden State Warriors. They're competing for a playoff spot. They just built a new freaking arena there. They've sucked. Listen, I've been watching late night King games forever, all right? And Rudy Gay called it basketball hell. Yet, they're actually competitive right now. The Western Conference is, you can get in. You can make it into that eighth spot, even a seventh spot this year. And then they turn around, they trade DeMarcus Cousins. And so it screws the fans. And if you're DeMarcus Cousins, it's unbelievable that somehow you're on the Sacramento Kings and you were traded to a team that's actually worse than the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely crazy. I'll tell you what, the biggest beneficiary of this trade probably is going to be Willie Cauley-Stein. I always thought this guy could play, and I'm saying, man, he's going to get out of Sacramento. He's never going to be able to do anything with DeMarcus Cousins. I like this guy going forward.
Yeah, and you know what? He's going to be, in the 34? We'll see if they bump him up to, normally he's $3,600, Tony, right? $3,600. How about Tolliver as well? Tolliver's got to get some a little bit of a bump right now, too.
Yeah. Tolliver's one of those guys I think that'll be consistent, but I'm interested to see Cauley-Stein, what he could do there. And then Tyreke Evans, right? If they take away the minutes limit that he was on in New Orleans and just let this guy go, he's the biggest hun in basketball. He'll shoot the ball 30 times a game with that team's talent, and he'll end up being a top 10 fantasy player by the end of the season.
Yeah, so you have Rudy Gay, Collison, and Evans on the floor. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Seriously, what the hell are they doing? So, no basketball. What are you going to do all week, Tony? You going to be playing some NHL hockey this week?
Crazy. So last night, right, was the first night that I actually played MMA, not on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I just finished up golf. Tonight, there's only two games in the NHL. We get so pissed off at the NBA, right, that I thought we were absolutely getting trolled by the NHL. The first night, everybody's going to turn their attention because we need something to play, and the NHL has two games. What the hell is going on? They had 11 last night. They have 9 tomorrow night, and we got two games tonight.
You know what? That's a great point that you raise, and typical of Gary Bettman in the National Hockey League. Let's have 11 games head-to-head with the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
On a Sunday night, and on a Monday when there's nothing going on, you're right, when there's absolutely nothing going on in the sports world at all, besides Boston College at Florida State tonight, now you can't play fantasy on that anymore either.
Nope.
They're going to force people to become gamblers, Tony.
That's it. They're working their way there. You know, I actually talked a little bit about that this morning on the DFS Today show, and that they did a poll where they thought that 15% of people would have bet on the Super Bowl if it was legal. And when they set a form of betting, props and things like that, so it's always there. I always thought the number would be higher than the 15% there. And maybe it's just because of the people I hang out that I think everyone would participate in that. But it's something that when you want to talk about games, and you mentioned the Sacramento Kings, the other night I was watching a Lakers-Kings game, and there was only three games of the NBA slate, so I had a bunch of guys DFS-wise there. If you're a league, you've got to have this. You've got to advocate for gambling to be allowed in Madison State. Why are we going to let all this tax money keep going out of the country and go into these books that nobody's collecting taxes from? It's happening. Why not prosper on it? I mean, you're killing the DFS companies. You're killing the fantasy industry. Why not just allow gambling and go all the way in?
That's ridiculous because Sheldon Adelson, blocks it, and the casinos block it, and it's all politics, and, they really don't ultimately care about jobs in the end. But that's another story. I brought this up earlier, Tony, too, something to keep your eye on. When the NBA returns on Thursday, you would think that they would, after a long layoff, that games would slow down a little bit, but it's actually 60% to the over. So this helps for fantasy as well. There will be points scored. In the first week, it's actually 56% to the over, higher scoring. I thought it would sort of be the opposite. It's sort of like the old the old debate that we hear every year. Who's ahead of the curve, Tony, out of the gate? Pitchers or hitters, right? Early in a baseball season.
Yeah. Basketball is amazing because, to me, the lack of defense just seems to continue each week. And as the season goes along, it seems to become something more arduous for teams to practice playing any defense at all. Other than the Utah Jazz and maybe the San Antonio Spurs, every other game seems to have a 220 total out there.
It's crazy, isn't it? Remember, like, you know, in past years, you know, your 222s and stuff like that was Golden State or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, now every damn game, Tony, like you said, the Brooklyn Nets, 229, Lakers, Suns, you know, 232. There was a game the other day, it was 240. You're right, and it's a byproduct of the players. We see it in the All-Star game. Like, you know, that's why I like the over last time. I was like, these guys don't play defense in a regular season. You think they're going to play defense now? Like, it's not in their DNA. You know, like, they've never been yelled at. Like, a lot of the guys in the NBA, they're one-year dudes off in college. The coach isn't going to yell at the guy in college. You know what I mean? For a year, it's like, whatever. You know, the guy's here for a year. Let him do his thing. Let me make my money, my contract, and we'll do it all over again next year. But they're really fundamentally bad right now, Tony. They're athletically great, but there's no defense whatsoever.
Absolutely. And that's why when you look at a lot of the people, when they put together the rankings of the top players in the league, that you just get guys who know, always put Kawhi Leonard in there because he's one of the few guys that play both ways.
Most complete player in the league, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was watching a thing the other night where they had Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and a couple of the guys on that set break it down. And the only player that they had in all of them in the top five on their list was Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. It's a good point. So, you remember, like, in the old days, man, it was a grind out there. You had guys in your face. Like, there's no guy like the glove, Gary Payton now, or just relentless dudes, you know, defensive specialists, so to speak. Tony Allen's good. Tony Allen's a pain in the ass, but that's just, he's more of like a street ball player that's just sort of all over you. So, Tony, we got football, you know, the combine's around the corner, but the dominoes are going to start to fall soon. There's so many of these quarterbacks in which decisions are going to have to be made. Tyrod Taylor, Bills are on the hook on March 12th. That's around the corner right now. The Dallas Cowboys are going to have to make up their mind as far as Tony Romo is concerned. Romo said last week that he thinks he'll be released, not traded. You got Jay Cutler, who's unwanted in Chicago. Colin Kaepernick's going to be available out there. You know, what about Jimmy Garoppolo? Is this deal going to happen? But as far as Romo is concerned, the Denver Broncos are the team that keeps coming up right now, and this is one of these instances in which it just makes too much freaking sense, doesn't it? And from a fantasy standpoint, Demaryius Thomas and Sanders with Romo would be a nice pop, wouldn't it?
You know, Romo in Denver makes too much sense. Like, is that one of the things that's going to happen? I think absolutely. You get two weapons there. There's a team with a great defense, and they would have a shot to win. I really think what's going to have to happen here is that the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to cut Tony Romo. He's going to have to make his own free agent contract because no one's going to make a trade for him. He was talking about massaging his contract. There's too much to massage there. So once Dallas gets real, they cut this guy, they let him go. He'll probably be in Denver in less than 24 hours after that happens.
Yeah, you know what? And there's different scenarios and situations because another football team that I'm thinking right now, and they must have, you know, talk about buyer's remorse, is the Houston Texans, Tony. The Houston Texans. If you're Tony Romo, you would be staying in the state of Texas. You know, you're joining a team freaking loaded with Pro Bowlers and studs, man. You know, you've got Hopkins, you've got Miller, you've got Fuller. On defense, they're loaded. They're going to have J.J. Watt back. It's a very comfortable situation in Houston. We saw they gave the Patriots probably the toughest test in the playoffs, actually. I know the Falcons were up. But as far as defensively is concerned, man, the Texans gave the Patriots all they can handle. But Brock Osweiler wasn't good enough. But they're on the hook. They'd have to convince another team to take Brock Osweiler off their hands. No one's going to pay Brock Osweiler $18 million this year. So they're kind of screwed. But if you're the Broncos, Paxton Lynch really isn't making all that much money, Tony. You can eat that. You can live with that. You can't do it if you're Houston. You can do it if you're Denver.
Absolutely, you can do it if you're Denver, and I think that's going to be the whole key. I think that the Texans are stuck with Brock Osweiler one more year, and hopefully he can turn it around. But I think this is going to be a done deal. I mean, the only other situation they could go, and I don't see Tony Romo wanting to do this, is heading out to Buffalo. They add another wide receiver to that mix and make that happen, but I don't see Tony Romo in Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing as well. You know that the Buffalo Bills would love to have Tony Romo, and, you know, they brought in Terrell Owens, they signed Mario Williams, they signed LeSean McCoy. The Bills aren't adverse to making a splash. Like, they will make a splash, but if you're Tony Romo, you're looking, you know, hell, I'm a lifelong Bill fan, and even now, like, I'm at a point now where I don't even care anymore. Like, I can't live and die with this football team, Tony, when Doug Whaley's running this thing into the ground. Like, the guy's clueless. I mean, so we're cutting Taylor. We just gave him the contract last year. I thought we loved this guy. Now we don't love him? Now I'm hearing they're going to release LeSean McCoy. So what's the deal? What, the quarterback's going to be Cardale Jones and the running back's Mike Gillisley? Like, what the hell are they doing?
That makes no sense at all. I mean, the backtracking. Yeah, that's the whole thing going on in Buffalo. I have no idea what's going on. Tony Romo's not going to go and get involved in that situation.
No, there's no wide receivers there either. Well, you've got one guy in Watkins who hasn't proven he can stay healthy for 16 right. games. If I'm Romo, Denver's great. Houston's a nice spot. Carson Palmer's coming back right now. So you got Garoppolo out there as well. What do you make of Garoppolo? Do you think this kid's a solid NFL quarterback, or is he the next Matt Castle, or is he the next Brett Favre?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the next Matt Castle. He'll be a top 15 quarterback is where I'll put him. And I think that if someone's going to give up a first-round pick, you might as well. I mean, I look at the whole quarterback situation, and people talking about this kid out of North Carolina who only was starting for 1 year and a little more than that. There is no way I would draft that kid in the first round, and teams are going to do that. I'd rather take a shot on a guy with a little NFL experience and go ahead and get Jimmy Garoppolo.
You know what would be a nice fit for Garoppolo? The Bears.
Yeah.
The Bears. You know, the Romo to the Bears makes sense for the Bears. You know, they would like it. Romo's, played Eastern Illinois, of course, college football. He's from Wisconsin, but he ain't going to be playing for the Packers anytime soon. So, the Bears would be the next best thing. But, you know, the Bears aren't quite good enough either to want, you know, for Romo to want to be there. Garoppolo, they can sort of rebuild. You got the Howard, the running back. Jordan Howard, you have a nice little base there. What about Tyrod Taylor? If you're the Bills, would you keep him?
I would,
Tony. In my own personal opinion,
really?
Yeah, because, we don't want to pay him. Who the hell are we going to pay? Like I just said, is Cardale Jones going to be the quarterback?
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's why you would see Jay Cutler, right? When people, talk about the Bears, I always say, well, who the hell are they going to get to play quarterback? Like, you might want to think of Jay Cutler. There's not 30 good NFL quarterbacks running around. So Tyrod Taylor, as soon as he gets cut, he's going to get an opportunity. It seems like the Cleveland Browns are salivating for him to get cut, and they could go ahead and make a move there.
San Francisco would jump all over him, and it's crazy because you wouldn't picture the fit, but I've heard Denver, that John Elway likes Tyrod Taylor a lot.
Really? That's it. You know, I had one more address for Tony Romo that made sense. Do you think the Miami Dolphins are sold on Ryan Tannehill? You want to talk about a good group of wide receivers. They have that in Miami.
Yep.
They've got a decent defense, and they're a team on the come with that kid at coach. Do you think that Tony Romo would have any interest in Miami, the Dolphins sold on Ryan Tannehill?
That's interesting. I think Tannehill looked better this year before he got hurt. They were going in the right direction, so I think they can live with that. And Kansas City's a team that keeps coming up with Romo, too. Are you buying into that?
I think a lot of people are going back to when Joe Montana came there and people thought he was done and was able to play a couple more years. I don't think so. I think Alex Smith will be the guy. I think they will draft a quarterback out of Kansas City. I'm getting Deshaun Watson a lot of times linked up with them.
All right. I'd like to see Deshaun Watson get linked up with the Buffalo Bills, but I like the kid, so I don't know why I want to see his life ruined, but nevertheless. Hey, we got the Jets, too. We'll bust Cardano's balls tomorrow with the Jets. Jay Cutler's going to be a Jet. This kid was – that guy's born to be a Jet.
So Jay Cutler will be throwing. You know, it's going to be crazy as that Jets team, because the wide receiver position definitely is not. That's going to be in flux. We got two old wide receivers there. I don't think one of them will be back. Brandon Marshall, some people will hope that he ain't going to be back at 33 years of age. That's going to be a tough team in transition. And yet, I see a lot of the mock drafts having them drafted Fournette. Of all the things they need, is not a running back.
Yeah. Well, the draft is around the corner, and we talk about it, and we can bet on it as well. The Tony Cincotta. It's always a pleasure, Tony.
All right, take care.
There's Tony Cincotta with us on this President's Day. All right, we got some plays of the day for you and much more. Thanks to Tony Cincotta for joining us on the program. This show is really flying by, actually, in the podcast booth today. Not a ton of action going on tonight. Two NHL games. Light night of college basketball, but it doesn't mean that we don't have some picks. We got a six-pack coming up next. All right, it's time for our plays of the day, and we're going to start off on the college hardwood this evening. Boston College at Florida State. I'm tempted to take Boston College plus the points. They're getting like 18 and a half, but I've lost money messing with Florida State. Florida State could be in a bad mood tonight, and Florida State are capable of beating you by 25-30 on their home court. But I am going to take over 155.5 points in this basketball game. Wouldn't surprise me if Florida State gets into the high 80s, low 90s tonight. And the fact of the matter is Boston College have actually been lighting it up as of late, scoring like 75 points a game on a nightly basis over the last 2-3 weeks. Let's go over 155.5 in that game. Miami, Florida. They're taking on the Virginia Cavaliers. The game's at Virginia. Virginia riding a 3-game losing streak right now. Extremely rare for head coach Tony Bennett. You know what else is rare for the Virginia Cavaliers? Them scoring points. They can't score, this team. Yeah, they play defense, but doesn't matter. You guys can play all good. Good for you. You held North Carolina in the 60s. You scored 41 points. All right? And the Miami Hurricanes, they don't mind playing a slower pace game. I watch a lot of Hurricane games. They're not a run-and-gun track meet-style basketball team. They're comfortable in a half-court setting. You know, this game is going to be a close game. Virginia's going to be in tough to win this game. Give me the 9.5 points with the visiting dog in the Miami Hurricanes. Texas Tech, I tell you what, the Red Raiders kind of flying under the radar here a little bit and play good basketball in the Big 12. They're a dominant home team. I think they're 15-2 right now on their home court. I think Iowa State's in a bad spot here. I like the Red Raiders to get it done on their home court. I think this game goes over 142.5 points. We got the Texas Longhorns at West Virginia. West Virginia are going to be a real pain in the ass to deal with in the tournament, all right? No one's going to want to play the Mountaineers, but West Virginia have been on an emotional run as of late. There's been a lot of draining games for them, overtime-style games. And now you get Texas coming to town. West Virginia don't need to win by 16. They'll be comfortable just winning this game. And Texas have actually been a good betting team. ATS-wise, they're showing a profit as bad as they are straight up-wise. I like the Texas Longhorns. Plus the 15.5. And finally, in closing, we'll lay it at 55 cents with the Quack Quack Ducks on the road. Yeah, I don't like laying 55 cents on the road generally, but the Ducks are in a must-win situation on a nightly basis from here on out, and they absolutely own the Coyotes. They've won all three matchups this year, and they won, they've won five straight against these guys, all right? Five straight games, including three this year. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.